Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to the smartest man in talk radio.
You're going to be listening to one of the smartest people that you probably... And you know who this guy is. It's me.
He's Jim Blasingame.
I am smart. I am smart. S-M-R-T. I mean S-M-A-R-T.
The Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. Thanks for just for being you, for all the things that you do, for all the hard work that you put into the marketplace, for all the things that you contribute, small business owners. I am so proud of you for what you do. In fact, you've heard me say this before. I don't even want to think about what the world would look like without you, because it wouldn't be very pretty. And that's the reason why we do what we do here. And so many other people who admire what you do, small business owners, are working hard to support you and to provide you with information and encouragement as much as we can. And somebody who does that all the time is our good friend Tamar Jacoby. Tamar is a longtime member of our Brain Trust, going back many years. She's the president of Immigration Works USA. She is the author of a book called, or I should say the editor of the book called Reinventing the Melting Pot. And she is our top expert on the whole immigration issue, and our good friend, Tamar Jacoby. Welcome back to the show.
Great to be here.
It's good to have you back. Immigration kind of has been off the radar screen a little bit this year as an issue, as a standalone issue, hasn't it?
That's true.
As a standalone issue, whereas in the past, when there were bills in the Congress, the McCain bill, I've forgotten the name of the bill.
There was the McCain-Kennedy bill.
That's it.
And then
that's it. Yeah.
Bush, you know, politicians have been trying for years now to solve it and have failed to solve it. So as they failed, it's kind of fallen off the table a little as we grapple with some of the harder issues.
It's also been nudged out by other issues with sharper elbows, like health care and that kind of thing. In fact, the sharpest of all elbows this year has been the health care reform debate, which we've been very much a part of. But I do believe, there's no question, Tamar, that there's a significant connection between the debate over health care and the debate over the immigration issue. What do you think?
Well, look, anytime you have, when you're talking about how do we get everyone in America insured, but you've got 11 or 12 million people who are living here who we kind of like to wink and nod and pretend are not living here, the 11 million unlawful immigrants living in the country, you're heading for either a hard question or a big contradiction. You know, we can't say we want to insure everyone, but wait a minute, what about those people who we don't even admit live here or don't recognize, or don't recognize as part of our society? So you've got a conundrum lurking there, waiting to jump out at you when you start to talk about what we're going to do for everyone in the country, because obviously people's attitudes toward them is going to be somewhat different.
Well, and this phantom community, this phantom group of people, as you say, that sort of remind me of phantom income. You know, phantom income is where you have a taxable event, but you don't have any cash to pay for the tax. You know, but and these people are a human event. They have an impact on our marketplace, but yet we wink and nudge about whether they're even here or not. They do have an impact on the marketplace through the work that they do, the valuable work that they do.
Impact on the marketplace and on the economy.
The money that they spend.
I do understand voters who say, look, they're not citizens. They're not, we haven't recognized them as part of our family, so to speak. And when you haven't recognized somebody living, you know, they're living in our house, but we haven't recognized them as part of our family, so we're not sure we want to pay for them yet.
Yeah.
I understand that hesitancy. I think we need to fix the fact that they're living, the contradiction that comes about because they're living in our house and we don't recognize them. I think we have to recognize that they're living in our house and admit them to the family, and then we'll be ready to pay for them. But I understand that in a certain way, Congress is asking folks to do it in the wrong order, or the people who say immigrants should be getting health care are doing it in the wrong order. They're saying, before we even admit it to them to the family, let's start to pay for them. We've got to do immigration reform. We've got to admit them to the family. Then it will seem natural and normal to pay for them.
Well, I think that's an excellent point that you don't hear people making these days, Tamara, and that is that if something had been done, if some resolution about recognizing their existence, as you say, to use that metaphor, if something had been done to recognize them prior to this year, the healthcare debate, the healthcare reform issue might have been a little easier for them to grease through this year, because that is one of the big sticking points, and we're going to talk about that. What is the impact of immigrants on the healthcare system that we have, and what will it be if they pass healthcare reform? What will that wind up happening in that case? It's almost 20 till. Tamar Jacoby is our guest. I'm Jim Blasingame. I'm your disc jockey. Stay with us.
Too much, I'm lonely, but no one can tell.
Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and there's a little bit of Fleetwood Mac bringing you back. Saw them live in Las Vegas back in earlier this year, and boy, did they knock it out of the park! Unbelievable, seeing those folks who are on the high end of the baby boomer generation dancing around and singing and playing their instruments. It was really impressive. If you get a chance to hear the Fleetwood Mac, you should go. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. It's just about as exciting as the Fleetwood Mac concert. That's the story I'm sticking to. You can read, you can listen, you can ask questions. Check out my blog, subscribe to my newsletter, check on our Brain Trust members, like our good friend Tamar Jacoby, who's with us right now. And that's all at smallbusinessadvocate.com. If you got 15 seconds or 15 minutes or anywhere in between on any topic under the small business sun, we've got that there for you. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at Jim Blasingame. Tamar Jacoby is editor of the book Reinventing the Melting Pot. She is the president of Immigration Works USA and our expert on immigration in the Brain Trust and one of the top experts on this issue on the planet. Tamar, you said something a minute ago that I think is very, very important. Because as you know, I've been helping to lead the debate about healthcare for almost a dozen years now. I didn't just lurch to this issue when just as you and I were talking about immigration before it became a hot issue on the show. I knew it was a big deal. So, but you said something a minute ago. You said that they're kind of getting the cart before the horse. They're trying to solve healthcare reform and today and somehow include the immigrants and then solve the immigration later, when they really should have gotten the immigration off the table before. Because I think you're right, because one of the big sticking points for a lot of people, Tamar, on this healthcare issue is, what do we do about the immigrants? Now, you and I both know that we're already treating these people, aren't we? We're already paying for their healthcare because they're going to the emergency rooms, aren't they?
Well, they go to the emergency rooms. A lot of them actually avoid the doctor. I mean, it's one of the awful
things. Which is unfortunate.
They don't have health insurance, many of them, and some of them go to the emergency room, but some of them just don't get treated.
Right.
I think we agree on this. I mean, I think we agree on many of the bigger issues. There are a lot of other hard questions in the healthcare debate. But the illegal immigrant population is turning into a sticking point for people. I think it's because people rightly are hesitant to again extend the payment. To treat as if they were our family, people mm-hmm. who we haven't really admitted to the family yet. Although they're here, working hard, contributing to the economy, we haven't yet recognized that they're part of the family.
Well, and see, they're a huge chunk of the recognized uninsured in America.
Absolutely.
Aren't they? I mean, we've got
Absolutely.
40-something million people in America, depending on who you talk to, 42 million, 50 million, whoever you're talking to, you're going to get one number. But it's a big number, tens of millions of people who have no insurance in America. You take out you take out the people who like you and I were tomorrow when you know the, all those years ago I was 25 and the 3 years ago that you were and you thought you know we thought we were going to live forever. Well, you take all those guys out and you cut your number in half. You take right. You take the immigrants out, you cut it in half again, and you wind up with 10 million people who really do need coverage.
Right.
And so they're a big part of that debate. So if that issue had been resolved a year or two ago, I think would have been a better chance that the health care reform bill would have already passed. And it
well,
very
they, well
may
well,
not
we could think
year.
About it more sensibly anyway.
Mm-hmm, exactly. So now
Well, the interesting news about immigration reform is that the Obama administration is talking about trying to get to it as an issue in early 2010.
Yeah.
It's a little hard to figure out. I mean, it's a little hard for me to as close as you know. It's what I work on. It's the issue I care most about. It's a little hard for me to see them succeeding in getting to it in 2010.
I agree.
I mean, I think the members of Congress have had a lot of. You know, are tired of dealing with a big, hard issue, but the Obama administration is promising that they're going to get to it, and they're working very hard to create momentum for reform.
I don't see how there are so many things working against that. Number one, there seems to me to be less than a 50-50 chance that they'll even get any kind of a health care bill done this year. Which means it will languish into next year. It'll go into next year, which, as you know, is an election year. What gets done in an election year? And then Mr. Obama wants to. You're saying he wants to bring up another flashpoint issue. Like I mean, immigration is a passionate issue in America. Immigration reform. And I don't think they're going to have the stomach for it next year. What do you think?
Well, I have the same skepticism you have, but here's one possibility, and I'm not sure it's a good year to bring it up, by the way, but because of where we are with the economy, but the administration, when they get done with health care, if they don't really succeed in health care, they're going to have a problem of what do we take back to voters when
right.
we try to get reelected.
What have we accomplished?
What have we accomplished? And they're all, you know, the president's going to be worrying about that, and the members of Congress who have to come up every 2 years, they're going to be worrying even more.
But it's a
little outrageous to think of immigration as an easy one, but it's possible compared to climate change, health care, all those others,
yeah.
maybe immigration will look like one that's doable.
Maybe it will, but I'll tell you what's interesting is some of the people don't know whether to say, look what we've done, or if they actually pull it off, they might get blamed for doing it. So
well, that's
I think some
that's
of them
true.
Don't know what to do, and therein lies the thing that fascinates us so much about politics, and also unfortunately the ugly part of politics. Tintel, right back. When we come back, I'm going to ask Tamar to help us sort out how small business owners should feel about this illegal immigration group community in our nation, and some ideas on how we should feel about reform. Tintel, stay with us. Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. My pleasure, as always, to continue to be with you and to continue to bring you really smart people like our good friend Tamar Jacoby, who's with us right now, a longtime member of our Brain Trust, the president of Immigration Works USA. Tamar, tell us how we can find you and your organization online.
We're on the web, immigrationworksusa.org. We've got a terrific webpage full of everything you need to know about immigration and a way to get involved in trying to pressure Congress to do something about it.
And can they find your book there?
They can find my book there and a lot of my articles. But we're really an organization, you know, of small businesses.
Right.
Our raison d'etre, the reason we exist is the perception that business really, small businesses in particular, that hire immigrants, and it is, you know, mostly small to medium-sized businesses who do hire the immigrants in this country, that they're some of the best voices to be making the case to the President and Congress that we need to fix the broken system.
Because
you know, great,
they need these people, don't they?
Sorry?
They need these workers.
We need these workers, but small businesses need these workers. America needs these workers.
Right.
I always say, if there's one set of numbers you need to understand immigration, it's that in 1960, half of all American men dropped out of high school and wanted to do unskilled physical work.
Right.
Today, less than 10% of American men dropped out of high school and want to do unskilled physical work.
Right.
And it's true at the top end, too. So we need them at the bottom end, but at the top end, two-thirds of the students in American computer science and engineering courses are foreign-born. So we've got a big gap and niche of demand at the low end and a big gap and niche of demand at the high end.
But here's the unfortunate part. There's another book, I'm trying to remember the name of it, but it's about the book was written about the high-end immigrants who used to come here and stay and live here. They're now coming here to get educated, and they're going home. Because they're
here, they get educated, and because we make it so hard to stay,
right?
Many either go home or they go to other countries that make it easier.
But the
if we had different regulations, we gave them visas,
right? And because we don't have immigration reform, because we are dealing with these people in a logical way, we wind up with all of the. Now, I shouldn't say all of the bad. I don't mean that, but we wind up with their efforts, but without any resolution for the negative part about the health care.
Yeah, they come up in problem after problem. I mean, how can you talk about insuring everyone in America with health insurance if you don't talk about them?
Yeah.
How can you talk about making the census work if you don't decide, you know, who are they and how do they
but
fit
here's,
in?
Here's something else, Tamar. I want to point out, and I want to tag this onto what you said a minute ago about how small to medium-sized businesses are the ones who employ the vast majority, maybe, probably 90% of the immigrants. The nation, actually needs these people to do the work. The nation benefits the economy, the marketplace. Communities benefit from the work that these people do.
Absolutely.
But yet small business owners are the ones who employ them and help them to make it possible for them to do these things. But yet when it comes to enforcing immigration laws that don't work right now, small business owners take it on the chin for that.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And that's the unfortunate part.
Small business owners need to stand up and be part of the chorus saying we need to fix this. I mean, I understand why people would hesitate, especially, if you're in a situation where you don't, aren't sure about your workforce. You try, but you aren't sure they're
right,
legal.
Right.
But small business owners have to be part of that chorus, standing up and telling, particularly Republican and moderate Democrats, hey, folks, got to deal with this.
And in the minute I have left, what is President Jacoby, what would you do?
We got to figure out a way so that the people who we need to work here for the sake of our small businesses and for the sake of our economy, so they can come legally. That's the most important part.
Mm-hmm. But how do we reconcile the people who are already here? That's the issue.
The people who are already here, we have to ask them to come. We have to demand, really, that they come forward, admit they did something wrong, admit that there's been something bad has happened in the past, and then figure out what we're going to require
them to do,
so they can get onto the right side of the law.
And exactly, and that might be putting them on a track to citizenship. But the main thing is, I think, which is a loser tomorrow, and that's telling them that they're going to have to pay some kind of a fine and back taxes. That ain't going to get them out of the woodwork.
I understand that people want to ask them to make some kind of restitution, right?
Yeah.
I mean, people. I think we all were complicit in the breaking of the law.
That's
right?
The
we
reason
hired
why
them, we asked them to come.
That's
do
the reason
the
why we can't ask
I do
them
think
for,
we have to
for
own
taxes.
Up to something, the fact that laws were broken in the past.
Yeah. Hey, Tamar, thanks for being here. Great debate today. Thank you for
Great
being
to be here.
Here. Great discussion. We actually agree on many things, Tamar and I. I like it when she joins us. Tamar Jacoby will be back. I will be too. After the news, I'm Jim Blasingame. Don't go away.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.